In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to young Pastor Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. We're meditating today on verses from 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's verses 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for this very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord, we pray. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of Jesus, who is full of grace and truth, dear family of God, we remember 27 years ago very vividly because our son Joel was on the way to kindergarten. But the mystery that has lasted all those years was all over the news this past week, the kidnapping of Jacob Wetterling. We don't need to recount those details here. You've heard them. But I found it ironic that it's also the news comes up and this sermon text comes up on the same day that has become infamous because of the greatest attack, the worst attack on American soil by terrorists. So today we come, as we always do, to the Lord's house to be refreshed, to hear his word, to grow in grace. But it's also a day when the dear Holy Spirit can remind us to pray more fervently. God, dear Lord, pour out your grace to save us from violence. So the fall season starts. Every member worship and study Sunday. Bible class starts for adults and teens again. Sunday school for the little ones. This is the time when we're gathering again in the Lord's house to really focus on Christian education for all ages, to dig into that word, to grow in our faith. If you're joining us for the first time or are new to Bible study or just listening in on the internet to this, welcome. We are thankful to share God's grace with everyone listening, thankful for the grace of God, because the more we share it, the more we enjoy it ourselves. And it's really an honor and a blessing to be on this journey together. But I have to tell you, there's something really shocking in these verses. And the Lord does this sometimes where realizing that people of every generation are just busy with their lives, apathetic, careless about pretty much everything but what's going on close by. He's got something really shocking here. Something about this man we call St. Paul. Sometimes, looking back on his days as Saul the Pharisee, he confesses, I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. He was such a blasphemer, he was not content to say the most horrendous, terrible things about God's Son, Jesus Christ, insisting he was an imposter and not the Christ. But he also confessed this when he was on trial. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign countries to persecute them. Saul was not content to blaspheme or say bad things about God and his son all by himself. He was worse than a tyrant. He was trying to destroy people's souls. So how does he get from that point where this is just welling up in him like molten lava to the point where he is ready to confess this over and over again in his writings and on trial and admit, I was once a blasphemer? God got through to him, didn't he? We will study this, the children, again in the Sunday school story of the conversion of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him, made it very clear that he indeed was risen from the dead. The Lord's able to do that, to convince him, to get those facts right, because that's certainly the first part of Christian education. Get the data, get the facts. We certainly do that in Sunday school and Bible class. When Saul finally had that clear, then everything that he had heard in the Jewish synagogues over the years about the coming Messiah, he realized was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And he was so impressed with God's grace that for the rest of his life, he gave up everything, lived with absolute abandon, boldness, fearlessness in Christ because he had been saved out of that wretchedness of where he had been. And we hear that and we think, yeah, what a wicked guy he was, how terrible he was. This is the shock that the Bible has for all of us and why this is so important for us to know. Because I can just imagine sitting here listening to this for the first time thinking, who cares? Why do I worry about a man named Saul the Pharisee? Because we're no better. In God's view, the Almighty Judge looks at every sin as violence against his holiness. He is so holy and righteous and true that all our thoughts, words, and deeds that constantly are running against what his will is are violence in his sight, punishable by eternal death and hell. So the husband harsh with his wife, the wife disrespectful to her husband, the children dishonoring their parents, even in your heart before it ever comes out in words, who of us has not sinned there? How can we possibly look at someone else and think they're worse if we understand God's law as it stands? And as Paul said in Romans, we don't water that down. We don't change the word of God to make it more livable because we can't live there. Who of us can live with a consuming fire, Isaiah asked. It just is as it is. And the Lord wants us, instead of comparing ourselves to others, if we see wretchedness and criminal acts and violence around us, to say, there but for God's grace go I. If it wasn't for God's grace in my heart, I have just as much evil there too. You hear this in the news sometimes. People will say, well, we just can't believe that they could do that. And they talk like they would never do such a thing. And even sometimes people that break out in that violence say, I can't believe I did that. In his great mercy, God shows us this so that we can come to him and confessing, but for God's grace, there go I, not commit a sin that's even worse. You know what the worst kind of violence is that Christians commit sometimes? It's that Pharisee violence. It's that idea that someone else's sins must be worse, so it could come out in ways that you don't even realize. You see somebody come back to church after a long time away, and instead of welcoming them back with open arms, glad to see you, thank you, you tell them how long it's been since they've been away. We make it more difficult for people to come back to God's house sometimes because we've got us bigger and them smaller. Lord, let me lose myself. Empty me of myself. You get bigger. Let me magnify the Lord. Not look like that. Instead, be as Paul, He went from Saul to Paul, the great apostle, because the Lord got through to him. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who's given me strength and considered me faithful for appointing me to his service. This is how the Lord makes us faithful. In Sunday school, in Bible class, he gives us the facts. We can't get into those facts in as much detail here. I've heard sermons by faithful pastors criticized because it was just like a glorified Bible study. This is supposed to be proclamation, summary, review. But the facts you need to get on your own in your personal study and review them and have a chance to ask the questions and discuss it, that's why we need Bible class. That's why Sunday school is so important for the children. Paul says, I was appointed, found faithful, because God worked that in me just as God works it in our children. He says, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The Lord Jesus recognizes when people don't know any better. I acted in ignorance. I didn't know the facts. I needed to learn that. Once I did, God got through with his grace and changed my heart. He says, always, because this is God's undeserved love, it's the grace of our Lord that was poured out on me abundantly. Like that dry ground that just drinks up the water. That's how I felt after I found out I'd been persecuting Jesus. That's how I feel after I've heard about my sin again, which I need to hear. That's what's so hard about being a preacher, because everything I preached I've already broken already. But then the sweet gospel comes, that blessed news that God actually washed those sins away and doesn't see them anymore because they're gone. He will not let anyone bring them up again. It's one of the secrets to happy marriages, happy living, happy relationships of any kind. I'm sorry. I forgive you. Now it's done. You don't bring it up again. If God forgives it, he wants us to forgive it. In fact, he says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive yours. We need to learn to do that, as Paul did when that grace of God was poured out on him in overflowing abundance, and the faith and love came then so that he would have that sincere faith and that glowing devotion for the Lord Jesus, praising him always. Lord, save us from violence through your word. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Have you ever said that? You consider yourself the worst of sinners? You've sung it. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. We always need to be more aware of our own sins and the sins of others. Chief of sinners, I'm the worst, he says, but for that very reason, God had a point, had something he wanted to do. Why did Jesus have disciples like Peter who denied him and just got into trouble with his mouth so many times? Why have a king like David who committed adultery and then murder? Why put them in the Bible? The four women that show up in Matthew chapter 1, all bad women. They're in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Why have someone like a persecutor and a violent man be used for the apostle to us non-Jews, the Gentiles? Here's the reason. For the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus did this. I was shown mercy so that in me, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Those times when you're really honest and you really feel the need for God's grace and mercy, you can think back. It's in my prayer book in one of those little daily prayers. Lord, you received Saul the Pharisee. You took back David the king, the murderer and the adulterer. You'll receive me. There's room for sinners all. For that, he makes an example so that we come back and don't turn away. There is a danger that's so prominent in us that one of the seminary professors, Richard Gergel, wrote in the Grow in Grace newsletter to pastors this week, talking about some sinners who might come back. Now realize, Saul, if he would have just avoided all the sinners, he could have grown in his wealth and in his honor. He was really advancing in his Pharisaical life. When he gave it all up for Jesus, he was looking at a different kind of wealth. He was putting his hope in the wealth of heaven, putting his heart there, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So in doing that, he never looked at people the same way again. No matter how bad they were, those sinners were no worse than him. So to the pastors, Professor Richard Gergel wrote about that 20-something man who struggled with same-sex attraction since his teens. Confused and uncertain, frequently wrestling with the voice of conscience, he stumbled again and again to the temptations of the homosexual lifestyle. What about him? Or that college-educated young professional whose expressed views on all things political may not match yours. Or a street-smart teen who's fought his whole life to gain the facade of respect when one has proven himself tough by clenched fist and gun barrel. Sinners like these flocked to Jesus. Saul was a Jewish rabbi. He didn't have to give everything up. The wealth and the fame, the riches, he just had to stay away from sinners. He wouldn't do that anymore. The persecutor, the blasphemer, the violent man had been on the self-righteous road to hell. The Lord turned him around. He still would call sin, sin. Not like so many churches in our day that take the list of things that, you know, they're all okay. That's, no. We don't water down the law. It stands. It's just that all those sins against God's law have been forgiven. And that's what is so amazing to the Apostle Paul. Why he wanted to come back and find true riches. Lord, pour out your grace to equip us for your glory. As you did, Paul, I was shown mercy to display God's grace. You are shown mercy. I am to display God's grace. And sometimes that's the best we can do for a neighbor when we've messed up and maybe got angry about something. Go back, and I had to do that for a neighbor one time. It's a lot easier to preach this than it is to actually live it. And I'm just thankful that the Lord Jesus is my Savior too. It's an opportunity to confess your faith in Jesus. I was shown mercy. How about you? Where is your treasure? Is the Lord successful in breaking down the stony rocks of hard hearts and apathy as it pops up for you, as it comes back, to make you intent on seeking the greatest treasure of all? Because when your treasure is in heaven and you're constantly thinking about getting ready to go there to be with Jesus, then your heart's going to be in heaven too. It makes a huge difference about the contentment and the happiness, so that godliness with contentment is great gain. You find that out as long as your heart is in heaven and you're living for God's glory on this earth. There are these exciting things that come and go. You know, watching a movie may seem more exciting than being in the Lord's house. And you have to wonder, you know, boy, was it exciting this summer. How many people all over the world, millions of people all over the world, got into Pokemon Go? Have you heard about that? Pokemon Go. Whoa. And then when I did a little Google research on that, you find out, yeah, but now they're concerned that so many of the players are going away from that. Okay. Yeah, and eventually they're going to all be shut out because of upgrades in the software, and then you got to get better hardware in order to run those things. You know how that goes. Some of you don't know what in the world I'm talking about. There were shows on TV that were so exciting, like Friends and Simpsons. They finally died. Not as soon as I predicted, but they certainly died. Everything comes and goes. Every generation has its excitement about this and that. Politics never changes. But God's Word, there we can grow in grace and wisdom. Lord, pour out your grace. Let us love this Word more than anything. as you save us from violence and equip us to fight the good fight of faith to win. For your glory, Lord Jesus. Now to him, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.